Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
It was kind of funny this morning on the cabinet meeting that President Trump had. All of them had hats in front of him, either Navy hats or red hats, and they all said Gulf of America on them.
I think they're selling T-shirts with that on it, too.
I think he's selling everything. Oh, it's funny that you would say T-shirts. We were just having this conversation about AOC is kind of become the face of the Democratic Party all of a sudden. Like, she is everywhere. She's out with Bernie, and she's always done really well on media. And just ever since she really walked into Congress, she's just found a love affair with the media, and they love her. If you ever go, by the way, to the House of Representatives and you go by her office, she has this area where people write her notes on Post-it notes, and they are all around her door. So when you're walking down the hall for the offices, you can spot AOC's office a mile away.
Goody.
Because I know there are all these Post-it notes all over the place because all these libs show up who just love her and write these notes about how great she is and how wonderful she is. But you said a thing about T-shirts. So Kevin O'Leary was talking about AOC, and there's talk about her running for president. I know, in 2028. But, I mean, that just shows you how bad the gene pool is right now of them being able to find somebody. But this is what Kevin O'Leary said about her. Cut 12.
Would she destroy America? Absolutely. There's no chance she'll ever be president. I don't agree with anything she says, but I love her social media. She's a crazy chicken. She raises $5 and $20 at a time. She's a terrible manager. Her district is a wasteland. Why would anybody want her running anything? But I love what she does on T-shirts. So maybe she should start a T-shirt company. That's what I'm thinking. Go AOC T-shirts.
There you go. You were just talking about T-shirts. And I'm like, hey, I was just talking about Kevin O'Leary cut of go AOC T-shirts. There you go. So if you want to be a fan, get a Gulf of America hat or get an AOC T-shirt and you could show which team you play for.
I think isn't she the one that has the Tax the Rich T-shirts, and she wore the dress that said Tax the Rich all
right.
over it?
If she looked like Janet Reno, I don't think this would be an issue.
Oh, 100%.
You know?
100%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, hey, by the way, go ahead, finish your thought.
I was just going to say that there was another quote from him somewhere. It was from a few days ago where he was talking about the T-shirts. I think it was on the Abby Phillips show on CNN that Scott Jennings is normally on, and basically said, you know, he loves that she sells the T-shirts, probably makes a good amount of money on them, and he has bought them and he signs them, but because he says that in every socialist, there's a little bit of capitalism, which I think is a hilarious quote.
Her and Bernie both, man. Bernie's flying all these private jets all over the place, living at his three or four houses and talking about the oligarchy, which maybe him in a mirror, he may want to look at that. Hey, by the way, it's time for Sue's News.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No, 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 no.
And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, it's National Bubble Tea Day.
Bubble tea.
Which I just think is disgusting. But I am not a fan of tapioca. And that's what those little balls are at the bottom of the tea. Ethan?
Oh, boba tea? Is that what you said?
Yeah, it's also they also call it bubble tea.
I didn't know that. I've never had it before, but there's a store, I guess. I don't know what you'd call it.
A shop.
A shop that's not very far from where I live, but I've never gone in. I'm kind of curious, though.
Well, you could try that. Do you like tapioca balls of slime at the bottom?
I've never had it.
That sounds delicious.
They look like the Orbeez.
They look like Orbeez. Orbeez? I don't even know what that is, but it looks like an orb. Therefore, I'm going with it. Fred, bubble tea.
Oh, I'm a no on that.
Yeah, I'm a no with that. Have you ever had it, Mike?
I've never even heard about it until right now. I was this many years old before I knew what that was.
It's like a layer of tea, and it's almost like cream on top of the tea, and then at the bottom are these globules.
I'll stick with black coffee.
All right, that's fair.
I just can't believe you haven't heard of Orbeez.
No.
They're tiny, colorful, little water-absorbent beads, and I guess it was kind of a thing for kids growing up. Where you would put your feet in them, and it would be almost felt like a massage. You're really soft on your feet.
Oh, interesting. On your feet, not swallowed and drank, consumed in a thing of tea.
Those.
Yeah.
Not edible.
Just checking.
There you go.
And on this day in history, 121 years ago, that would be in 1904. This is the day that the World's Fair opened in St. Louis.
Oh, no way. Okay.
And the actual John Philip Sousa band played.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that incredible? And about 200,000 people showed up to watch the opening ceremonies. Now, think about this. Transportation in 1904 was not, you weren't taking the family car.
No.
And this is all the way out at Forest Park, which is out in the boonies at the time.
Yes.
And people traveled from all over the U.S. to get there, all over the world, frankly. And it was an incredible thing, and it kicked off today. And as soon as the speeches were over, they turned on the water for the cascades, and it was just a really impressive sight.
Have you all ever watched the documentary about the 1904 World's Fair?
Oh, yeah, it's amazing.
I figured you would have seen that.
Yeah.
There was, I'd heard about the World's Fair, but I never really paid that much attention to it. You know, the whole meet me in St. Louis, all this kind of stuff, right? And then I saw that documentary and realized everything that I thought about the World's Fair was wrong.
Yes.
It was so long. It was 8 months.
Oh, yeah.
That the World's Fair.
If I could go back in time, that would be one of the things
I'm with you. I agree. After watching that documentary, I would love
to. And the Olympics that were
exciting.
It was the last time that the World's Fair and the Olympics happened at the same time, right?
Well, yeah. We forced them to do it then because we said, look, we're having this big World's Fair. If I did a History of the Lou, maybe two of them on there.
I was about to ask. I thought you
did one. Go to odyssey.com and download it, or the 97.1 website. Look for podcasts for History of the Lou. It will blow your mind.
Yes.
There was a hotel in Forest Park to take all these people in. There was people came from all over the world and built huge buildings to showcase what their country could do.
Was it
unbelievable. Huh?
Was it the Filipino tribe?
Oh, they were there.
That they had here. So evidently, they wanted them to be in their original type.
Yes, garb.
Yeah. And they were here living like natives. And I guess 13 of them died just making the trip here. It was horrible. But yeah, it's like, okay, I'm thinking fair, right? Nope, wrong. See ya. Thanks for playing.
It was mind-boggling.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. I'm 8 months long.
What
did they do there?
Go ahead, Fred. To the History of the Lou.
The Express version.
Yeah,
here.
You need but to listen to
the
that.
The Express version is they cut down trees in Forest Park. It's enormous. And there were giant agriculture buildings where you would go in and you could see what people were doing. as far as that goes. They were feeding thousands of people at these different things. There was the huge Ferris wheel. The birdcage that is part of the zoo was there. It was a giant aviary. This was one of the first places you could go and see electric lights that lit it up at night.
The buildings were lit up at night, and that was like a first.
Mind-boggling.
The huge incubator. That was there. I know. That didn't work out so well.
Yeah. But there were some that didn't work out well. But you could see the Swiss Alps. They had fake Swiss Alps, and you could dine underneath them. It was amazing.
That's fascinating.
And over a million, it might have been 2 million, Fred, that came to this thing. And over an 8-month period, you got to go and listen to it.
So Colonel Ripper on here on the chat says, my great-grandfather, a stone and brick mason, worked on the fair. One hot summer day, a young 10-year-old boy comes around with a pole upon which the workers would put their empty lunchboxes on. Then he would take them to a nearby tavern and fill them for a nickel each.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow.
They've got a display going on right now at the Missouri History Museum where you could see it. And they have a layout, a 3D layout of what the place looked like. It is mind-boggling.
Wow.
I'm with you, Fred. If I could go back in time, that's immediately where I would
fascinating.
Go.
I don't want to stay, but I'd like to visit.
Believe me, I wouldn't in that outfit that I would have to wear.
Oh, that's true.
And on this day in history, 32 years ago, in 1993, that's when Monica Seles was stabbed in the back with that boning knife during a tennis match in Germany. And the attacker was an obsessed fan of Steffi Graf, whom Monica recently beat in the Australian Open, and she just, the person went nuts. And Seles did not play professional tennis again for 3 years. Well, you could see why.
Yeah.
Trauma. That's awful. Martin Short, who, of course, is dating Meryl Streep, which we love.
Which, that is so weird.
It's not weird.
It is.
How is that weird?
I don't know.
She is separated from her husband of a long time. I wish they'd just get divorced so I could feel better about the dating. But that's my own personal problem. But they met on Only Murders in the Building. Sorry, crowd. And he made her laugh.
I love that show, by the way.
It's because it's wonderful. Thank you for this. So I finally get somebody who understands the genius.
Oh, no.
Only Murders in the Building.
My wife and I love that show. We watch it together.
Yes.
It's one of the few shows that we actually agree on and we can sit down and watch.
Yes.
And that relationship with, I guess that's why I feel that way, because their relationship was just weird in the show.
Oh, yeah,
It was very awkward.
Okay. Well, it's not in real life.
Evidently not. No. They get along just swimmingly. Thank you.
Martin Short has been tapped to host yet another revival of Match Game.
Really?
I don't know. It's for
the
ABC.
Host, who was the original host?
I can't remember, Fred.
Gene Rayburn, that's right.
With that teeny tiny microphone at the top. The long one with the teeny tiny.
It was started like Match Game 70, and then Match Game 71, and then Match Game. Every year they changed the name of the show, and then they just went to Match Game.
It did premiere in 1962. That's how far back it goes.
Wow. I want to see Tattletales.
I don't remember that
Burt Convy and Tattletales.
Burt Convy.
They had the couples on there, and they would ask them questions.
You know
what?
We're really dating ourselves.
I know.
Poor Ethan doesn't know
Ethan's
what we're
like,
talking
about. I have no idea.
He's still looking up Janet Reno.
Welcome to the geriatric hour.
I completely lost interest.
What?
I have no idea what you guys are even talking about. I was like, all right, I'll answer a quick text.
What else did Burt Convy host? Because I remember him from something else. All right, I'll move
on. He was in Cannonball Run. You remember that movie?
Oh, yeah. He was
like the date on the back of the motorcycle.
Oh, gosh. All right,
there
is a story out today about a $57 million Rothko painting. Now, this thing is on display in a museum in Rotterdam, or it was. It was hanging on the wall, and somehow an unguarded child managed to get close to it and make small scratches on it.
Mm.
And I'm not sure how that happens. I guess if mom's looking the other way, and so is the guard, who's probably bored out of their gourd. It's called Gray, Orange, and Maroon Number 8. They're calling it visible but superficial damage. And here's the part I've always wondered. Who pays for that? Does the parent pay for it? Does the museum pay for it? $57 million.
That would have
just
to be
repairs.
A reinsurer.
Wait, the repairs are that much?
No, the painting is worth that much.
So how? I wonder how much that knocks off of the value.
Yeah, I don't know.
And they say used.
They have to. Yeah, it's used. They have to bring in experts, and I think that would be a fascinating thing to do is to repair paintings, but then you'd screw one up, and then I'd be out $57 million. But it even said in this story, the museum is not saying who's paying for it, whether it's them or the parents.
Well, the parents wouldn't have the money to be able to do that.
Well, we don't know what the repairs are, and plus, I guess that would be part of it. I don't know that the museum does either.
The guard was probably a Gen Zer who got bored with the conversation
right.
that was
Somebody
going
was
on.
About tattletales. Yes.
He was answering a text.
Yes.
Yeah, that was it. He was thinking about Match Game 78 and dumb Donnie questions.
Who's more to blame, the parent or the guard? See, or is it equal?
I think it's...
Well, I would say at the end of the day, the guard is there for one reason. Mm-hmm. So what's that whole thing? You had one job.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, but
ya.
The guard can't be everywhere. I blame... How's your kid getting... I think it's shared. I think it's shared.
There you go.
A woman is going viral on TikTok for her story of how someone tried to pay it backward at Dunkin'. So they drive through and they say, you know what? The woman behind me is going to pay for this.
No.
She pulls up and she's like, say what? And she said in the caption, so of course she puts it on TikTok and says, to the random guy in front of me who lied to the employee, I hope you have the day you deserve.
Oh.
Samantha is her name, and she later posted a follow-up where she clarified that she did not pay for his order, and the Dunkin' employees were very cool about it, even though they said they were frustrated with the guy who essentially stole coffee.
Yeah.
And she was taken aback that somebody would do that, so... Watch out for that.
I was curious what pay it backwards meant.
Yeah,
now,
me too.
Now I understand.
I put this more on the workers than I do on anyone else. Like, listen, I'm not saying that's good on the guy for doing this.
Right.
But, like, if someone's going to be dumb enough to let you do that, then, like, kudos to the guy for outsmarting the workers.
Well,
that's just way too easy.
You're right. They should not have said, oh, okay. But if people have been paying it forward... Maybe they just thought, I'm sure they just panicked and thought, well, okay.
Probably.
He's like,
probably.
You know, my wife's I'm behind new. Me. She's picking this
maybe
up.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think about that. My wife's behind me. She'll be picking this up.
Wouldn't you think to like go back and or just make sure, hey, this guy said that you're paying for that. Is that correct? Well, you would think maybe someone would go and check that.
But then again,
you got people coming through the line. You got... A constant line.
It's already
sure
long.
It's,
workers answering texts.
Fred running with the theme. People get uninterested. People get uninterested.
Whatever.
Somebody pulled 8,000 adults and asked, how long does it typically take you to fall asleep?
Oh.
Fred Bottenheimer.
Oh, a long time.
Really? Are you up to 20 minutes or an hour?
Oh, wow. An hour, maybe.
Dang. Oh, Fred, I'm so sorry.
Wow.
That stinks. You got a lot going on in your head.
Well, and on my phone.
Oh.
He's texting people.
A nice try. Yeah.
Hey, counterpunching. Yeah, I like that.
I think it was just a glance. But I Mike Elam, how about you? 10 minutes, 20 minutes, or immediately?
My wife says that I am literally asleep in 2 minutes from the time that I am.
Dang.
Head on the pillow, ready to go.
Lucky man.
Put the CPAP on, turn my head, and I'm done.
That's because you're just worn out from all that talking.
Yeah, that could
well,
be. Ethan, are you a 10-minute sleeper, maybe 20?
Depends if I have taken melatonin, which I have to do pretty much every night now, which is a problem I recognize. But I would say probably 20 minutes, and I'm out.
Sometimes
but
if you overshare. Can I just tell you that?
If there's no... If there's no melatonin, I am in trouble.
Interesting.
How about you, Sue?
I think I am 10. 10 minutes.
Now, are you all on your phones and stuff before you go to bed? Obviously, Fred is. He just said so.
You're not supposed to be.
You're not supposed to be, but I do.
But generally, yeah, I like to know the forecast for the night. Am I going to crack the window for us or not?
Good thought.
The most common answer was up to 10 minutes.
Okay.
And up to 20 minutes was a close second, but over half the country falls into one of those two groups. But in your case, Mike, 1% of people said they usually fall asleep in under 60 seconds.
Yeah, wow. I'm kind of there.
Wow.
That's just mind-boggling.
Well, it's just one of those kind of things. By the time I finally lay down and I'm quiet and still, my body's done. And they're like, psh, you're up. Now, the bad part is, I'll wake up at 3:30.
Where are you at in this, Sue?
I'm about 10.
Okay.
10 minutes.
All right, so you're with the majority.
Yeah, I'm with the majority of people. And finally, in Sue's news, we have today's random fact. And this is random. Americans eat about 20% more calories than Swedes. That is approximately 2 whole cheesecakes.
Wow.
Per week.
Per week?
Per week that we eat.
How much more?
What was the number? 20% more calories than Swedes. That's about 2 whole cheesecakes per week.
We got some issues.
That's a lot. Don't eat that sugar.
That's why I stopped eating.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it worked. That's true. Yeah, you're not out eating the Swedes.
There's a lot less of me right now. So there was a big Supreme Court case that the arguments were happening today, talking about the Oklahoma religious charter schools. We're going to talk about that on the other side. Groundbreaking stuff is happening with the Supreme Court. It seems like ever since Trump got here, it's just one court case after the next. It's a groundbreaking case. We're going to talk about that on the other side. Mike Elam in for Mark Reardon today on St. Louis's home for conservative talk, 97.1.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
FM Talk.
This one does not say it will exclude children of other faiths, but it said if you want to attend this school, you have to attend Mass, you have to accept the teachings of the church with respect to certain principles. So is that something you look at?
No, it isn't. St. Isidore allows exceptions for anyone that doesn't want to attend Mass.
What if it did, Mr. Campbell?
I think the argument and the analysis would be different because this case involves a categorical religious exclusion and facial religious discrimination.
So that was some audio from earlier today at the Supreme Court oral arguments in the Oklahoma Religious Charter Schools case. Ilya Shapiro was, man, I'm just having a day today. Shapiro is joining us. Sorry about that, man. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. You're what's standing between me and going to the Caps playoff game tonight.
I was going to ask you about that, getting into that, and that's what I was thinking about. We got the Blues game tonight, similar thing. You excited about your game? What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, I think they'll close it out tonight.
There you go. Because you're up 3-1 in the series right now, right?
Yeah, that didn't do much for the Leafs last night. That's my other team. I actually cheer for both teams. So.
Hey. You've got different loyalties here, but I won't hold you up on that. I don't want to delay you getting to the game any more than we have to. So give me an idea of this particular case. It seems to be one of those things that's catching a lot of folks is saying this could change a lot of how charter schools are going to be viewed moving forward.
It really depends on how the justices what kind of standard they set. Not all states would necessarily change their rules. Most states do have charter schools. I think we're up to 46 states that have them, and there's different rules and regulations. Not all religious organizations that want to start a school would accept the state's regulations for charters. But the issue is, if you're going to have these charter schools that are not, you know, they're publicly funded, but they're independently run with state oversight, can you say only secular ones are okay? Because there are lots of different kinds of secular ones. There's classical education, arts-based education, schools focused on the LGBTQ community. In Oklahoma, Native Americans have their own charter schools. So is it really okay just to say, as long as you're not a religious school, you can do that? That's what they're grappling with. And the bottom line up front, it looks like the St. Isidore, who wants to have this Catholic charter school, has 4 votes. Oklahoma, which is the attorney general, is against this, has 3 votes, and John Roberts is going to be the decider. Amy Coney Barrett is recused, so it could end up being 4-4, which would affirm the Oklahoma Supreme Court that disallowed the Catholic charter school without an opinion from the U.S. Supreme Court.
I thought it was interesting that Justice Barrett recused herself, but I haven't heard, at least I hadn't heard earlier, she hadn't given a reason yet. Have you heard anything about why she did that?
Well, you don't have to give a reason, and most of the time they don't give a reason. It's likely because she was a professor before she became a judge and then justice. She was a law professor at Notre Dame, and Notre Dame's First Amendment clinic, religious liberty clinic, is the one that developed this challenge and has helped out the challengers. She's good friends with Nicole Garnett, who's my colleague at the Manhattan Institute, also on the faculty at Notre Dame, and works with that clinic as well. So I think that's probably the reason.
Probably feels like she's a little too close to this.
Yeah.
So I know the attorney general there. You said that he's on the other side of this argument. He really went off and said, when you get into this religious freedoms, then all of a sudden you could have charter schools supported by taxpayer money. And he was talking about Muslim charter schools, Satanism schools, things like that. Do you think that's really where this could lead to?
Muslim, yes. Satanist, no. It takes a lot of resources and organizational know-how to run a school. It's not just a fly-by-night operation. They're not going to approve a charter for something that's not serious and rigorous and has a real curriculum. You know, this is not a completely private school. That's the point. This is some sort of different entity than the public government schools that we're all familiar with, and the private schools, which come in all shapes and sizes. Charters are different, and a lot of parents like having that kind of flexibility. There's expanded school choice, of course, in plenty of states around the country. And yeah, it's an unusual situation in Oklahoma where most of the political establishment supports these schools, but the attorney general, who is a Republican, at least nominally, is on the other side.
So why is it that Justice Roberts always seems to be that swing vote when we get to cases like this?
Well, because Barrett's recused.
I love that
generally,
laugh, by the way.
Generally, Kavanaugh is kind of the man in the middle, and Roberts is the sixth man, to put it in NBA parlance, I guess. but he's the most cautious. He's the most incrementalist, minimalist. You could say he's definitely conservative, but he's not necessarily, he doesn't call himself an originalist. So he's trying to steer the ship and keep the court out of controversies, which is, of course, hard when everything is controversial these days.
So when do you think we're going to actually hear from the court on a ruling on this?
Well, since this is the, you know, we're at the end of April now, so the term ends in June. So in this will definitely be one that's that final week, that last week of June.
Well, I appreciate you taking some time. I'm going to let you go quickly today because I don't want you to. I'm sure there's a lot of traffic where you live. We had that here today. So I want to make sure you get there, you get in your seat, and you get a cold, frosty one, as we say in St. Louis, enjoy the
Thank
game.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for taking the time.
Take care.
That's Ilya Shapiro. He's a senior fellow and director of constitutional studies at the Manhattan Institute. His book is Lawless, The Miseducation of America's Elite. There are a lot of people around the country who are watching this because the charter school case has really got a lot of people's attention on this just for what he was talking about. Taxpayer dollars getting involved in sort of the religious schools. Before, it's been one of those kind of things, if you're going to go to a Catholic school or something like that, you didn't have taxpayer dollars involved in this. With a charter school and taxpayer dollars, that completely changes the argument of what this is going to look like. And to their attorney general's point, he went to extremes just to make his point. But there are a lot of things that this could open the door for. And You're seeing in Missouri a lot of talk about school choice. What does school choice look like? All the different things that they're trying to put into place for that. So it's going to be something to keep an eye on, and I'm sure we'll have him back as we get closer to looking at that. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk with Phil Kirpin. He's the president of the American Commitment, and we're going to talk a little bit to Chief Chris DiGiuseppe of Lake St. Louis. He is part of the Gateway Regional Criminal Introduction Task Force, part of the task force that Governor Kehoe has put together to try and cut down on crime, not just in the St. Louis area. That was kind of his main focus of this, but across the state of Missouri, and try to make sure that we have the safest state in the country. We'll see where all that goes. Mike Elam sitting in for Mark Reardon today on St. Louis's home for Conservative Talk, 97.1 FM Talk. It's Mike Elam sitting in for Mark Reardon today. Traffic has taken a bad turn out on I-70, and Sue is going to give us an update on traffic from a multi-car accident that's out there.
Yeah, and westbound 70, as a result, has been completely shut down. And this accident happened just past the Rock Road. But they had to shut down the entire thing, a couple of very serious injuries involved. And westbound 70 is closed. Eastbound is open, but there is a jam that goes back past the across the Blanchet Bridge, and the westbound jam is back through 170. And if you can avoid that area, please, please do. So if you're going to the airport, there's a jam in front of it.
That's not good.
No.
Wow. So hopefully everybody turns out okay from that. But whenever you hear reports like that, it's not
scary.
Good.
No.
Luckily, it did stop raining for the most part in the area, although it looks like Channel 4 is
into
doing
Illinois
the,
now, it looks like.
Okay. So over in Illinois, it's raining. But hopefully, the good news is that that particular section, it's not. So praying for everybody that everything turns out well. Here comes a very awkward segue. So we were having a conversation Ethan was talking about before, telling me this story about John Gruden and the Blues. So tell me about how all this stuff came together.
So we talked a couple of days ago about how John Gruden has completely hopped on the Blues bandwagon. And it kind of all started, at least publicly, when he was sent a box. He does these segments where professional teams, college teams will send him boxes of gear. He opens it up, he shows the gear, talks about how much he loved this player from back in the day, or he coached that player. There's random connections.
How can I get one of these boxes?
And John Gruden just, you know, he's got that fired up personality.
He does.
If you remember from the QB camp.
If you're with me, knock on wood.
Yeah, exactly. So when the Blues were down 2-0, he got a box sent to him by the Blues, and for 6 minutes, he just gave a motivational speech. They gave him all this hockey gear. They gave him a Blues signed Binnington jersey.
Wow.
So he goes on for 6 minutes, firing up the team and the fan base. So after each of the last couple of wins, he had been posting about them saying, you know, we're back in the series and we're going to win this thing. And St. Louis Blues fans have completely jumped on it. Well, John Gruden went back to Twitter to talk a little bit more about his new love for the St. Louis Blues, and we pulled the audio for it.
All right.
There it is.
Game time. St. Louis Blues tonight in Winnipeg. I got my gloves on. I got my helmet on. I'm ready to go. I got Bennington. I got the sponsorship I need. I got Shin. Captain Shin. Buchnevich. Get another hat trick. Shut him out, Jordan. Shut him out. I got a can of whoop ass, and we're going to use it tonight. And I'll see you guys Friday night in St. Louis. I can't wait. I haven't slept in 2 days. Wait till you see Friday night. Whoa! Let's get this one. Let's keep this thing going. Let's go. Let's go. I got to figure out this strap. I got the helmet on, but I got to fix the strap. Because we're going to strap it on tonight, baby. Let's go, Blues.
Is that not amazing?
It's awesome.
That's hilarious.
So we talked. I mentioned it with Frank on Monday. He had mentioned Gruden had mentioned right that he may, there had been some rumors that he might be going to Game 6, and now he confirms in this video
I'll
he
see
will
you there.
He will be there at the Enterprise Center on Friday night, if the Blues are to win tonight in Winnipeg, they will have an opportunity not only clinch the series and advance to the second round, but also they would be beating the number one seed in the entire NHL, the President's Trophy winner, the Winnipeg Jets. Would be a huge upset. But I tell you what, the crowd has been excellent the last couple of home games. Pronger was at Game 3 firing up the crowd prior to. Patrick Maroon, Big Rig, the hometown hero, was there at Game 4 firing everyone up. I have to only imagine that the eruption is going to be even bigger for John Gruden because of what this random fandom that he has developed for the Blues within literally the past week. It is just too good to be true.
That's crazy. And everything about that is just crazy. John Gruden is a guy who I don't think has ever had decaf.
Probably not.
No, not
probably
at all.
Probably not. Whole lot of caffeine.
I think he chews the beans and chases with some water.
It is the exact kind of thing, right? You think back to some of the different things that went on during 2019, right? You had the Gloria, you had the Bennington's Do I Look Nervous? Like you had things, right, that the fan base
could grab hold of.
They held on to, right, and they ended up being really cool things. And this feels like it's one of those things, you know, if the Blues are to make a run here, they're going to be holding on to John Gruden and some of those motivational quotes that he had in that video.
He has some great ones. One of my favorite videos, though, about John Gruden is not John Gruden. It's Frank Caliendo doing John Gruden in front of an NFL team going, if you're with me, knock on wood. Yeah, here we go. It's hilarious. Hey, we're going to talk a little bit about the tax bill, the big, beautiful bill that needs to get done. We're going to talk with Phil Kirpin on the other side. Mike Elam in for Mark Reardon today on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.